Hello and welcome to the Fantasy Live Podcast. It is scheduled release season, baby. I'm your host, Ian Hart. It's a great day to be great. It's a great day to talk ball with one of my favorite people out there. The one, the only, Chris Allen. Chris, just you and me today. Dwayne is having some technical internet difficulties. Absolute boomer move, but that's okay. We will see Dwayne here before too long. So, Chris, schedule is here, man. How are we feeling?
I'm doing well. Actually, no, I have to pose this to you. So I went and the people have spoken. Like my new nickname is Chris King Allen. Per one of our listeners from last week, he said like Chris's name should, like his nickname should be King because that's a type of analysis that he puts out. It's not a bot. It wasn't me on a burner account. It wasn't like any of my family members. It was like one of our own people. The people have spoken, brother. Like it has to be, I think we have to go ahead and take note and give the people what they want. So from now on, Chris King Allen is, I guess, like how, you know, like we got Dwayne the Rock, we got Chris the King. I mean, hey, what's a better group of analysts for people to listen to on a weekly basis, man? But other than that, I mean, I'm doing quite well, especially with the upcoming event this weekend. I don't know, man, you busy on Sunday? You got anything? You got anything going on, bro? I mean, like we might be, might be up in your neck of the woods for a small event going on this weekend. But now
wedding season, is going in the Hartitz household. I got the in-laws, doing wedding stuff. I guess I never asked too many questions about those kind of things out there, just across the wall. But yeah, man, you and Dwayne going to be there. I'm mad Dwayne couldn't be here because I want to let you know, Chris, like when my friends inevitably ask you guys for fantasy advice, I need you to take one for the team. It's my day. Give them absolute shit. Okay. I do not want these guys coming back and beating me next September because you and Dwayne tried to make a couple extra friends or be nice in a cocktail hour. So remember, it's my day, Chris. No good advice to anyone who asks. But
sold. I got you, bro.
Chris King Allen. I think King Chris Allen maybe rings on, rolls off the tongue a little better.
All right, we could workshop that. Okay. Yes. King's got to be worked in there somehow, but I like where your head's at. I dig
it. Royal theme, I'm in. Thank you, listeners, for helping us finally get across that finish line. But again, want to talk all things scheduled today. So I'll be honest, Chris, not my favorite topic on the NFL calendar. I do think it's ridiculous how we had, three or four days before the actual release of getting these 1 to 2 leaks. I mean, look, I like to sleep in, okay? But I'm always checking my phone by 8 or 9 a.m. to make sure I'm not, missing anything big out there. And a couple of these mornings waking up saying, 15 new Twitter notifications from the accounts I follow getting NFL news. And I'm like, oh my God, who got traded? What happened? No, it's just 8 aggregator accounts saying the same freaking 2 games, got released again. So all that aside, we have the schedule and it does matter. So Chris, before we again dive too deep into it, just a simple question for you. What was your favorite part of the schedule release? If there is a favorite, because I know I just said some pretty mean things about it.
I don't think there was a favorite point. Like my favorite point is when it's over. Yes. That's when it is. Because that's all fantasy managers should really care about at that point, right? Because if you're getting into these best ball streets, you're diving into Best Ball Mania 5 or hitting up some of the tournaments over at any of the other sites, that's really what we care about. Because when we're trying to plan out how we're going to start to correlate our rosters, how we're going to start to plan for not just the early parts of the season where we start to see our teams like really start to take off, where we invest in those first round picks and we see Tyreek Hill going off, Ja'Marr Chase going off, all those other guys. We want to see how the rookies start to develop. We want to see how those late round darts that we were throwing at like Rashid Shaheed and all the rest of those guys, like, how those guys like start to turn out. So that's when we're looking at the later parts of the schedule, the weeks 15, 16, 17, the playoff portions of it. And now that we have that schedule released for us, we can start to plan out what are the matchups we want to target, what teams might be in the best position for us to really capitalize like on that level of strategery that kind of goes into creating those rosters. So yeah, that's my favorite part of all this. Like I'm outside, like you miss me with all the hoopla of we're going to release a couple of games. We're going to know that the Chiefs play the Bengals in week 2 and like the Monday night opener is going to be, what was it? The Jets 49ers, something compelling matchups and some good drama. I actually wrote about both of those matchups in yesterday's newsletter. Good stuff. And I understand the NFL trying to wring as much content out of it as possible. But at the end of the day, for fantasy purposes, just give me the schedule. What's the saying? All the stuff that they've been doing could have just been fit into an email. All the stuff that they just like have gone over, like all that shit could have just been fit in email, bro.
It's so true, especially because we really knew the matchups already. It was just a matter of when they were actively going to be placed, you know, on the actual calendar. So want to give a special shout out to the Titans, who obviously, you know, went back and did their Nashville asking random people on the street again, you know, about the logos. Always good seeing some, you know, either non-football knowers or just some plain old idiots out there, you know, making us laugh for the pleasure of that. The Chargers, you know, continued to just rule social media. They did a Sims-inspired, you know, schedule release and threw a couple extra strays at Harrison Butker, which is hard not to laugh at. Mm-hmm. The Patriots went out there and did Gronk and Jules, you know, Goodwill Hunting adaption. A lot of effort went into that one. I appreciated it. And the Falcons with a freaking NFL Street style, you know, release. I know, Chris, one of these days we're going to have to go ahead and sit here and try to figure out who the NFL would be trotting out there for an NFL Street sort of roster. Not today, but one of these days. We got a long summer to get ahead. So again, kudos to those release videos. But yeah, man, otherwise I'm with you. I think the best part is that now it is over and we accordingly have these schedules. So as we know, not trying to make the biggest takeaways in terms of, you know, oh my gosh, look at this running back strength of schedule in terms of his 2023, you know, fantasy points per game allowed. Very, very tough to do that. Sometimes I think you can have a little bit of an edge by looking at just early season, September, maybe briefly into October, quarterback and DST streamers. We'll get to that in a little bit more. But again, not trying to come out here and say, again, oh, such an easier, tough schedule. More so, Chris, want to try to find correlation opportunities specifically in the fantasy playoffs. So taking us to our next question, do you have any meaningful takeaways on the fantasy playoff matchups right now? Because as our own Peter Overstad has told us over the years, week 17, at least in big time, you know, just huge filled tournaments like Best Ball Mania over Underdog, it does tend to be all that matters because you got to get there and then hopefully try to win once you do. So overall thoughts on the fantasy playoff matchups in particular, Chris?
I'm seeing a lot of before I even like dive into the matchups, let's talk about process. Let's think about like which teams are we even thinking are going to be some of the teams you would want to invest in? And that at least drives the conversation about, well, which players do you want? And then of course the correlation that comes after that. And you can look at just kind of sorting by the quarterbacks that we want to, like, who is Josh Allen going to be playing in weeks like 15, 16, 17, the same thing for Lamar Jackson. And maybe of course, Patrick Mahomes. And if you want to even get into the guys that are going to be towards the back end of that top 12 ranking,
Drew Lock.
Drew Lock, of course. I mean, Drew Lock. Oh my God. I had to throw that one in there. But the recently paid bagman Jared Goff. I mean, like those types of guys, like with those teams, that's where we want to try and say, okay, well, who are they going to be playing in that December-ish time frame, these 15, 16, and 17? And so I see a few matchups that kind of like fit into that. We've got, who is it? So Buffalo playing Detroit, week 15. I mean, it should be a solid matchup. I mean, two good offenses. Amon-Ra St. Brown with on one side, Jared Goff, Sam Laporta. I mean, Josh Allen and like whichever of the wide receivers, whether it's going to be Keon Coleman, Clear Shakir, Curtis Samuel, of course, with Dalton Kincaid and James Cook in tow as well. I mean, so many fantasy pieces. I mean, I think I just named six or seven different players that are all being drafted towards like the upper end of ADP at this point that most folks would want to invest in. And that's just in one game alone. Chicago playing against Detroit week 16. That it should be another matchup. What is it? You got the trio of receivers for the Bears. And then of course, all the guys that I just listed for Detroit. So I think from a process standpoint, looking at like those key match, like first those teams, the players associated with those teams, and then trying to pick out, all right, so now I'm seeing Chicago and Detroit like week 16. All right, that looks like a solid matchup. Green Bay playing against Minnesota. That might be pretty good. See where JJ McCarthy and like the rest of the crew is going to be at, Justin Jefferson, so on and so forth. Like what that's going to look like in week 17. The Chiefs, I don't know, man. Like, because that's one of the teams where I know everybody's going to want it. Like Patrick Mahomes, like Xavier Worthy, Marquise Brown. I mean, we just had the conversation about Hollywood Brown in his ADP in last week's show. But if you look at their run of schedule during the playoffs, Browns, Texans, that should be a good one. But week 17 against the Steelers, it's not really hitting the go button for a lot of folks if you were to look at that compared to some of the other teams. So I think that's where you do have to balance your enthusiasm for the team versus the potential correlation. But at the top end, so the teams that I were just talking about earlier, Buffalo, Detroit, Chicago, some solid matchups there, which would, again, I think boost enthusiasm for drafting some of the players associated with them because we know they're going to be in scoring environments once we get into the fantasy playoffs.
And again, as much as we do want to be targeting these, you know, high scoring fantasy environments, high scoring teams in general, that is kind of the point of fantasy football. The big kind of edge here is just trying to get any little minute amount of extra correlation when we are, again, trying to win this hundreds of thousands of entries, you know, tournaments like Best Ball Mania. So I mentioned Pete's article, and, you know, he'll probably have another one out soon. Great YouTube content on it. But this was Pete's, you know, specific quote on how to exactly, you know, measure that week 17 correlation in terms of, you know, the different things you're trying to check off when making any fantasy picks. So thought it was good. So here you guys go. There will be a temptation to reach ahead of ADP to complete your stacks in fear of missing out. But if we are constantly reaching for these stacks, then we're going to cancel out the correlation benefits and end up with teams that are watered down versions of other teams who are more patient. Think of correlating your players as a boost and reaching ahead of ADP as a negative. When you correlate with strong ADP values, then you are able to enjoy the correlation boost without hurting your team. So what Pete is basically saying here is don't be a freaking idiot and only care about week 17 ahead of ADP and player value and roster construction. Instead, lean on it as, you know, that last little potential piece of the puzzle that can take a good pick and make it great. So Chris, with all that in mind, we talk a little bit about the later season stretch, and we do have a couple more notes later in the podcast on guys like Jared Goff and Tua Tagovailoa's specific week 15 through 17 matchups. But what about the early season spots? Because again, as much as I do want to caution against, you know, trying to assume that 2024 is going to look at all like 2023, we do have at least two positions in terms of QB and DST where we generally do feel the need to stream, you know, usually later in the season during bye weeks, but sometimes early on as well. So any needle movers for you, Chris, specifically at QB or DST, where we see the early season stretch, you know, actually doing something for you? I will say on the DST side of things, don't exactly see, you know, a New Orleans Saints unit emerging right now where they had freaking like 10 or 11 straight weeks last year where they were facing either bad offenses or rookie QBs. Don't think we quite have that, but hey, maybe, just maybe, you know, we can find at least a you know, poor man's version of that out there.
True. I guess to that point, it looks like the Jets actually have a decent string. Now they open up with the 49ers, like I was just mentioning, but weeks 2, 3, and 4, they're playing against the Titans, the Patriots, and then the Broncos. So Titans with Will Levis, I mean, with his deep ball, like potentially volatile play style, playing against, like, whether it's going to be Jacoby Brissett, Drake May, we'll see how that like shakes out. And then of course, whatever conglomerate of quarterbacks they're going to have like for the Broncos there, like in week 4, I mean, could wind up being at least a potential for either sacks and or turnovers over that short stretch. But no, I don't think there's anything like your call last year, like for the Saints, at least on the defensive side. Offensive side, let's take another step back. Let's link through a potential process for figuring out like which early season matchups would be worthy of targeting or things that should move the needle. Let's think about what questions do we have of some of these offenses that once we do have the answers to those would be like, okay, now I've either made the right draft choice or I need to try and make a trade or something like that. And again, let's go back to last week. One of the guys that we were arguing about that I think a lot of folks around the fantasy community have now started to latch onto is what are the potential ranges of outcomes for one Devin Achane down in Miami. And in week 1, they play against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then in week 2, they play against the Bills. Now playing against the Jaguars, we'll see what Trevor Lawrence and company like have in store for us in week 1, especially with the new wide receiver core that he has to deal with. Another year with Doug Peterson, like what, I mean, the vibes right now are just kind of meh with Jacksonville. Of course, I mean, just like ain't no other way to put it.
Yeah.
But let's say they come out and they put up a good fight against the Dolphins in that high flying offense, that high speed offense, and we see Devin Achane get some that 50-60% rushing share that we were talking about and being like, he comes out and then it repeats itself in what should be that interdivisional match, what should be like a good matchup between them and the Bills in week 2. So if we have two data points at the beginning of the season, Devin Achane is the RB1 getting, let's say, over 50% of the workload for the running backs. Boom. Like now we're talking about this could be the guy that could wind up breaking fantasy from a running back perspective. So, I mean, that's just one case. What about the Kansas City wide receiver situation? We were also talking about that last week. We're going to assume right now, again, I'm not a legal expert. Go talk to the Drew Davenports of the world for stuff like that. But let's just go ahead and assume that Rashee Rice is going to be suspended for the first 6 games of the season. What does the target share look like for Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, and Travis Kelce? We're making bets in terms of whether or not Hollywood Brown can win at every single level of the field. He's going to be the guy that's going to get most of the targets, or at least enough of a target share to be in that wide, high wide receiver 2, 1B, whatever title that you want to give him, with Travis Kelce being the like pass catcher 1 for the Chiefs offense still. But if that's the way that it shakes out and Xavier Worthy is more of like the gadgety type of player, not, or let's say he's in the 15-16% target share for the start of the season, starts to work his way up. Well, now we've got a wide receiver 1 in Hollywood Brown that most folks might want to buy into. And so it's like questions that you have about each offense, like, shoot, go to my Bengals. What does Joe Burrow look like in his first game back in live action against the Patriots? What is that wide receiver their target share breakdown look like between Jamar Chase, T. Higgins on the tag, and we see some of Jermaine Burton, Mike Gesicki being a tight end sleeper. What does Zach Moss look like in that offense? So I'm not really specifically looking at matchups or like the schedule itself and saying, yep, I really want to see the Lions against the Rams in week 1. Actually, that's a bad example because I actually kind of want to see that. But you see what I'm saying, where it's like I have questions about these offenses, and do the matchups that you have on the schedule in the first couple of weeks of the season allow teams to answer that question? And if they do, then we can start to make actionable decisions afterwards, and like in terms of what our roster is going to be, whether we start sending players away, trying to make trade offers for some guys, Devon Achane, Marquise Brown, like insert name here, just depending on how teams respond to those early season matchups.
And as we saw last year, really the 2 MVP waiver wire additions in Puka Nacua and Kyren Williams did end up booming in week 1. And if you didn't, you know, pay up in week 2, probably wasn't, you know, the best fantasy season for you. So completely agree there. I will, you know, throw out just a couple DST streamers that I do think could help out. Not going to harp on this. I understand you guys aren't drafting DSTs for another few months, but just so you know, these are 3 groups that, again, should be able to get you through at least the first 3 weeks of the season. I don't think they're going to end up costing like this top 5, you know, kind of selection with the DSTs, because normally, yeah, we want to wait until the last round, or if you got, God forbid, you have to draft the kicker the second to last round of your fantasy draft to get these DSTs in the first place. So I'm not saying you should pick them or start them ahead of, you know, the Cowboys, the Ravens, or those groups like that. But I do think, again, based on just them being okay, and then also the early season schedule falling right, we can get behind them. So first up are the Houston Texans, actually top 10 in EPA allowed per play from week 10 through the AFC divisional round. They're at the Colts, at home versus the Bears, at the Vikings, then at home versus the Jaguars. So again, not layups. I personally think Anthony Richardson and Caleb Williams are going to be quite good this year. But when you do have those dual threat quarterbacks, with all due respect to Anthony Richardson's collegiate, you know, pressure to sack ratio, I could see some turnovers happening, and, you know, DeMeco Ryan's group certainly making fantasy managers proud again, at least to start the season. Also at the Los Angeles Chargers, I mean, Chris, if everyone thinks that it's just going to be this run first attack now, maybe we should start getting behind a defense that, hey, probably has 3 or 4 blue chip players out there in Derwin James, Joey Bosa, Asante Samuel Jr., and then even Khalil Mack, you know, back in town again. So new defensive coordinator, Jesse Minter, you know, he's in that Harbaugh, Michigan lineage. Same thing with Mike McDonald and what they were doing with Baltimore. So I do think this Chargers defense is going to be very good, and they open with the matchup we all dream of at home against the Raiders. Then they get to go to Carolina and then to Pittsburgh. So very reasonable stretch for the Chargers. And then finally the Denver Broncos, who it feels weird to say, Chris, you know, take away the time where they gave up 63 points and they were actually pretty good. But, you know, here goes nothing with that. So if you do look at them after that week 3 debacle, they were the league's 11th best defense in EPA allowed per play. And if you just want to be real arbitrary about it, you can get them as high as 6th if we move that cutoff up to week 6. So they're at Seattle, at home versus Pittsburgh, and then at Tampa Bay over the first 3 weeks of the year. Again, I'm not saying that, you know, the Broncos' own Bo Nix is going to make those absolute smash spots for them, but beggars can't be choosers when you're not spending up on a DST. Accordingly, Texans, Chargers, Broncos standing out to me. Lesser extent, Panthers, Steelers, and the Giants, but really wouldn't be trying to mess around with the Daniel Jones experience all that much. So final points, if you do happen to find yourself in need of a quarterback streamer, Jaden Daniels in Washington get the Buccaneers, Giants, Bengals, and Cardinals out of the gate. Baker Mayfield and the Buccaneers, man. Commanders, Lions, Broncos, Eagles, and Falcons to start. And then also Russell Wilson and the Steelers, who, yeah, I would love to see Justin Fields win that job too. But right now, DraftKings Sportsbook, minus 700 odds that Russ will take the first snap. They get the Falcons, Broncos, Chargers, and Colts out of the gate. So have an article up on fantasylife.com with my immediate takeaways, a little bit more on these guys. But yeah, QB or DST streamers, we do have some options. But yeah, sadly, don't think we have quite the same sort of Saints, you know, 2+ months out there. But hey, maybe things will change between now and week one. Chris, before we get moving on, I want to give a quick shout out to our friends over at DraftKings Sportsbook. Just mentioned them pretty organically. How about that? Great day to be great. With the playoffs heating up, now is the perfect time to get in on the action with our partners at DraftKings Sportsbook. Maybe the Cavs are eliminated, but guess what? The world goes on. Right now, all new customers who bet just $5 on anything will get $150 in bonus bets instantly. So what are you waiting for? DraftKings, download the DraftKings app and sign up now using our promo code QUESTIONS. The crown is yours. And guys, DraftKings has got something for the returning customers, as well as a no sweat NBA bet if you're already subscribed. If sports betting is not yet available in your state, don't worry, you can still join in on all the fun with DraftKings Daily Fantasy and have the shot to win cash prizes. So again, download a DraftKings Sportsbook app now. New customers use our promo code QUESTIONS and bet just $5 on any wager and get $150 in bonus bets back instantly, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. All right, Chris, I think, again, we've done a, I would like to think, solid job describing, you know, some of the more macro kind of tendencies and how to approach schedules and things of that nature. Again, really good resources out there on the old Twitter sphere where you can find, again, kind of cheat sheets for that week 15, 16, 17 matchups, even some stuff where, you know, we're pointing out the dome games and perceived good weather affairs as well. So with all that said, though, there were a couple guys, you know, looking specifically at the fantasy playoffs where we can start to kind of get an idea of, okay, is this going to be problematic from a weather sense? And hey, I know you're the king now, Chris, but you know, you used to be called the Cincy Storm Chaser for a reason. And accordingly, let's talk a little bit of a potential weather impact here for one, Tua Tagovailoa. He has a pretty rough final 2 months. So are we buying these weather concerns? Because Chris, man, this is a thing where I'm working through my team needs series right now. And when I got to Tua and the Dolphins, man, it is wild to actually see the data kind of just embrace the stereotype that Tua really does fall apart as the year goes on. I mean, we're talking about a guy that over the past two seasons has averaged 22 fantasy points per game in September, 18.7 in October, 16.9 in November, 14.1 in December, and just 10 in January. So look, don't have the largest sample in December and January. I believe that January number is actually only the Bills and then that Chiefs game. So yeah, and then again, just digging even a little bit deeper, you start to see that, oh, lo and behold, you know, he's just kind of facing some tougher matchups when things aren't going great. So it's not a complete, you know, just rule of thumb, oh my God, it's December, we can't start Tua. But when you combine that with a look at the schedule, Chris, Raiders, Patriots, Packers, Jets, Texans, 49ers, at the Browns in week 17. I mean, throw the Jets in there in week 18, and six of those eight teams were also top 10 defenses in the EPA allowed per play. So knowing that Tua is going to have to go into Cleveland in a probable bad weather game on December 30th or whatever against Myles Garrett and company, is that actively making you want to draft Dolphins less this year, Chris?
Not Dolphins as a whole, but more just Tua in general. But I think, honestly, most folks, I think the story's kind of out on to, like, okay, before we even get into this, let's just go ahead and let's get this out of the way right now. So before Tuanon comes after me, I still think he's a great quarterback. Hope all the best for him. Okay, you guys got at least a decent quarterback and all that. Okay, and not trying to throw any shade or whatever.
Let me give a few, Chris, real quick. Let me give a few stats because I don't want Tuanon coming at me either. Tua. Yep. Top five in EPA per dropback over these past two seasons. He's fourth in completion percentage over expected. He's number one in PFF pass grade. Obviously, he's really good, but we can't just ignore the weather stuff too. It's real.
Exactly. Exactly. So let's get all that stuff out of the way before people come after us. And we're just now adding in the context of we're just trying to give the best fantasy advice. Yeah. Okay. All right, Miami folks. All right. So before, like, Florida man, like, you know, 117 comes after us, like in the comments on this on YouTube,
we're just chases me down at my own wedding.
Yeah, exactly. If you happen to be in Columbus, just stay away. But the easiest point to make is that Tua Tagovailoa last year he led the league in passing yards, but was still what, like the quarterback, like 15 or something like that in fantasy. I mean, that what more do you want, like, for stats? All right. Now that course, that means that of course fantasy is irrelevant. Like, who cares? The man led the league in passing, yada, yada, yada. And that's great and all, but if that's all you can offer, and I would say this is the same for all of the pocket passers, like from my own, like from Joe Burrow, who I root for, to the CJ Stroud, to all the rest of the guys, pocket pass, like for fantasy football, you have to offer more than just being a contingent, like, pocket passer, unless you have like the high efficiency, you do throw a lot of touchdowns, so on and so forth, which in a single game, Tua does have that range of outcomes. He does have that ceiling to be able to throw multiple touchdowns in a game. We've seen that at multiple points just this past season. But to your point, once Tyreek Hill gets injured, which happened last year, once Jalen Waddle gets banged up, which has happened almost two seasons in a row, their running game now becomes more the focal point, whether it's Raheem Mostert, like, running in for like what, 20 touchdowns or something along those lines. Devon Achane, like, completely busting out and breaking fantasy for a week, like he did against Denver. I mean, those things can happen where it's easy for the focus to get away from Tua, and the focus can just be on single pieces of the Dolphins offense around Tua. So I wouldn't say I'm necessarily out on any of them. Any of the single pieces, obviously, like Tyreek Hill, where he's being drafted right now, like on Underdog Fantasy, like he's one of the higher wide receivers that are currently ranked, like at least by ADP. I think Jalen Waddle is still like one of the better, like, wide receiver twos, 1B, if you want to call him that or whatever. I would still target him at ADP. We had the conversation about Achane last week, Mostert still being the guy that he is, and the fact that he doesn't have at least as much wear and tear on his body and can still create explosive runs. Love where he's going at. So it's like the parts and pieces associated with the Dolphins, agnostic of their defensive matchups, are still guys that I want to be in on. But with this, with the schedule now in mind, I would rather bet on some of the make the Miami part like the correlation, like part of the stack, or at least the bring back, versus them being a part of the stack. Yeah. So let's say, for instance, for Miami, let's look at like week 15, that's the first week of the playoffs, isn't it? Like for yeah. most of tournaments. So most folks are targeting CJ Stroud, Tank Dell, Stephon Diggs. We had that conversation about the Texans wide receivers last week. I don't know how you could work this. So what, draft Tyreek Hill in like the first round, grab Tank Dell in like round four or five, and then like do a CJ Stroud stack. What, yeah. Toss Dalton Schultz in the back end? Boom, there you go. You have week 15 stack. If you are stacking for week 15, boom, done. Or, I mean, a lot of folks are already in on Brock Purdy and the rest of the 49ers. Deshaun Watson, that's a you and Dwayne thing. I haven't been on Deshaun Watson for obvious reasons. But if you were to do that, of course, any of the bringbacks, like for Miami, would be fairly easy to get at a cost. And of course, even investing in the Browns passing game is fairly simplistic and straightforward. Yeah. So again, to wrap it up, I'm more in on the pieces around Tua than being on Tua specifically, just because from a quarterback standpoint, I can find other guys that have higher highs than Tua. And also the stacking pieces with them are a bit more interesting now that we know what their playoff matchups are going to look like.
I mean, and what you just said about just Tua's lack of fantasy friendly nature to his game. Look, Deshaun Watson has been a horrendous NFL QB over these past 2 years. He's only had 12 starts, but like, you will see him way too close to Zach Wilson in any sort of passing efficiency metric to actually be able to build an argument. But what? I think he still had three top 12 fantasy finishes in his five complete games last year. Why? Because he does run the football. Tua does not. It is one of the biggest holes in why fantasy rankings and fantasy performance do not always equate to real life goodness, rushing QBs and receiving RBs at high volumes. And Tua doesn't have that. 144 rushing yards total over these past two seasons. My man has never rushed for 50 yards in a game in the NFL or even during his time in Bama when he used to, you know, be moving around a little bit better out there. So I'm with you on Tua. I was really shocked to see the fact that, again, he was only the QB 18 last season. 15.9 fantasy points per game, man. In 2022,
passing leader. Right. Have the most passing yards.
I mean, 2022 is better. 17.8 fantasy points per game, QB10 out there. And, you know, if we remove that Bengals game and a couple other things where he didn't play, I'm sure the numbers are even higher. But, you know, we have guys like Josh Allen and, you know, averaging over 22 fantasy points per game for their career out there, seemingly. So, again, on the one hand, I'm not out on Tua or anything because I do – it's just that pocket passer archetype, man. Burrow and Stroud are just really far ahead of everyone else. And then you got kind of Tua in his own tier. And then, you know, if you go even cheaper, you get the Goffs, the Kirk Cousins, the Staffords, and the Aaron Rodgers of the world. So I wonder, and I think it's a big reason why I've been drafting so much Anthony Richardson, if the answer to which one of these pocket passers to draft is just no. But yeah, not going to be easy at a minimum for Tua and company to try to go into Cleveland. That said, Chris, we were probably singing a similar tune about the Browns and the Jets this time last year, and lo and behold, who could have seen Joe Flacco trotting out there and going for 300 plus and three TDs against one of the best pass defenses in a night non-ideal weather game in Cleveland. And yeah, it was all like in the first half too. Still one of the craziest, most batshit crazy performances I think we have seen. Oh man, so,
I remember that. Yeah, I like to, and like you're in the, what you're saying is absolutely true in terms of what can we get if we wind up passing on Tua. Because right now he's sitting at the quarterback, what, 14 or so on UD right now. Behind him, Trevor Lawrence, and we already talked about like the offensive situation, which could be good, could be bad. But Jared Goff, a lot of folks with the hype around Amon-Ra St. Brown, Sam Laporta, Jahmyr Gibbs. I mean, most folks will want to at least try and complete those stacks. I mean, shoot, even with Jameson Williams, if people are looking at him as a guy that's going to ascend this year, most folks want to draft him. Justin Herbert, probably not so much, but Kirk Cousins. I think once people see his health status start to improve over the offseason, he's probably going to be on the rise. Matthew Stafford with Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, there's so many other quarterbacks where I can start to see, like, over the course of the offseason, most people will start to get a bit more hyped about their current situation. Whereas, how do we get more hyped for Tyreek Hill? How do we get more hyped for Jalen Waddle? How do we get more hyped for Devin? Like, there's like none of that's going to change. So if none of that changes, none of our feelings around Tua are going to change. But for each of the other guys sitting behind him, we're going to start to see some camp highlights of Brian Thomas Jr. over the offseason and be like, oh, hey, this Trevor Lawrence, oh, this might work out. This might be pretty good. We'll see some workout videos of like Jameson Williams actually looking pretty good. I'm like, oh shit. Like, okay, I gotta get some more of that. All right. So it's like each team, like I can see just more stuff coming out where the hype is gonna start to build. Whereas with Tua, he's just gonna sit there and we're just be like, oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah, Tua did that last year. So cool. All right, quarterback 8. Oh, okay, yeah. Yep. All right, yep. On to the next one.
Okay, so not going to completely hang Tua fully out to dry. We got another quarterback that we got to talk a little bit indoor-outdoor splits with, and that is one Jared Goff. It's our DraftKings sponsor question of the day. Again, shout out to our friends over at DraftKings. Promo code questions, $5, get those $150 back in bonus bets. Why not? It is a great day to be great after all. So, Chris, Jared Goff will only play outdoors 3 times in 2024. However, we do have 2 of those 3 coming in the fantasy playoffs against 2 pretty damn good defenses in the Chicago Bears and the San Francisco 49ers. So personally, again, I think it's more like Tua, where I think it's more of a small sample, noisy thing going on here than Jared Goff, you know, being unable to throw the football when it is outside. We saw him go for 352 yards and 2 touchdowns against the Buccaneers, also 355 yards and 3 touchdowns against the Panthers outdoors over these past 2 seasons. Yes, there have been more duds. I realize the home and away stuff isn't great for Goff, but, you know, for the guy's career, he's averaged 7.37 yards per attempt in domes. And 7.4 outside. Okay, I do think that generally it's close. And I don't know, Chris, I'm pretty sure that every quarterback has worse numbers when we do introduce Mother Nature and wind and, you know, snow and things of that nature to the equation. But again, week 16 and 17, Bears and the 49ers, it's that bad combination of not only potentially inclement weather, particularly in the Windy City, but I'd argue even more potentially bad is the fact that, again, 2 very good defenses there. So, certainly saw Goff have his way with the 49ers for, you know, the duration of that first half, at least in the NFC Championship. And maybe if Josh Reynolds had, you know, a bit better, you know, catchability out there, could have been a nice second half as well. Sorry, too soon,
Lions fans. That's probably too soon for Lions fans.
My bad, guys. But Chris, overall thoughts here on the, again, you know, oh my God, Jared Goff gets to play 14 of 17 games indoor storyline. And if that's really doing much for you.
All right. So I have to ask, does he really? He only plays outside like three times.
Yeah.
Like during the regular season. So I'm looking at it and like, so they play against the Bucks in week two, Seattle in week four, and then like Tennessee in week eight. So I got three, unless I'm looking at the wrong schedule.
It's well, he's home in those games.
Oh, he's home in those games. Yeah. You're right. So yeah. So like at Arizona.
His first one is at Green Bay in week nine. First eight weeks are all indoors. Yeah.
So Madness. That's wild. Like, good for him. He was able to work. I wonder if this is me putting on like my, this is going to be like my de facto tinfoil hat. So if y'all ever see me like put this hat on, it's going to be like my tinfoil hat. Is maybe that the NFL script writers know he's got a problem like playing outdoors. And so they're going to try and hide it. They're going to try and make sure, because he's the bag man at this point. Like he is like the second highest paid quarterback on a per year basis as out of this moment. So they got to protect him somehow. And this is what they did. Should be no coincidence that he gets his contract like pretty much like the day before they released the schedule. So I'm just saying. Okay. But back to the real analysis. Problematic portion of it, and this goes back all the way back to the combine, like back to his draft. The man has 9-inch hands, 8%, like I think it's like the 8th percentile of like hand size measurement, like for quarterbacks. And for people that want to know like how crazy, see, like it sounds like, and how nerdy I've gotten about this weather stuff, mm-hmm. I actually have looked into hand size and grip strength as a function of like what quarterbacks like can and can't do, like once you get into like cold weather situations. Actually, one of the Twitter docs of that's out there, Edwin Portas, awesome individual. I asked him about this general question about a year or so ago. He did send me a paper that actually looked into grip strength, but this is more for construction workers that are out exposed to like the elements like more often and for longer periods of time. And actually grip strength does become an issue for people that are out doing some of that that type of work. So I would venture to guess, we're just extrapolating it to like gripping a football, you know, 30 some odd times like per game in cold weather, that it does become like part of an issue for him. And we have seen that crop up in, let's say, rain games, like the ball slipping out of his hand. He has had a few fumbles in those types of conditions as well. So I do, like, while I lean towards there being a concern, like him having to play, at Chicago in week 16, like Soldier Field, that would be something to at least like pay attention to. Can't predict the weather as of right now, but we know it's probably going to be pretty damn cold once it gets out there. So that'd be the only one that really pops up on the list, because like afterwards in week 17, he's like out back in Cali, like where he's from and all that. So he should be all right. So without it being like a massive stretch of like cold weather games or where he's going to be out in the elements, I mean, so far so good. But that one would be something where I would be like, all right, let's check the forecast for the Chicago area for Soldier Field, like once we get to week 16, and see if that's going to be much of a problem. But for right now, since it's not going to be like a huge issue like throughout the entirety of his schedule, I mean, all systems go for the Sun God and Mr. Goff.
Three matchups for Goff in Chicago over the past three seasons. First time he went 299 yards and two touchdowns. That was an October game, though, in 2022 in November, 236 yards and just one touchdown last year in December. Yeah, the Lions lost to the freaking Bears in December last year. That one shocked me when I was watching some DJ Moore film yesterday. I was like, oh yeah, that actually happened out there. But yeah, 161 yards, one touchdown and two picks, and took four sacks while I was at it. So hey, Bears defense, I mean, once they did get Montez Sweat, Jalen Johnson was playing great down the stretch. I mean, it was a really tough defense down the stretch of last season. But again, I think they're going to be pretty good this year, at least for that week, going to be worth, you know, adjusting the ranks. Not saying that's going to be driving my round-by-round strategy in fantasy land, but hey, you know, remember this when we do get all the way up there to week 16 and 17 here in, you know, what, 6 months or whatever the hell that is. So,
oh, yeah.
All right, Chris, I'm scheduled out, but I got one more thing to get off my chest. Why in the absolute hell is it so hard to evenly space out bye weeks? What are we doing here? There are 32 teams. We can knock them out from week 5 to week 12 before Thanksgiving, because I understand Thanksgiving, you got the extra Thursday game, so you're going to have three of them there. You can do week 5 to week 12. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, that's 8. All right? 8 weeks. You have 4 teams on bye each week. Why is this so hard? Instead, we have multiple weeks with only 2 teams on bye. We have other weeks with 6 teams on bye, including a week 14 that's going to feature Anthony Richardson, Lamar Jackson, and multiple other really fantasy relevant quarterbacks with likely your fantasy teams back against the walls trying to get in the playoffs. And meanwhile, there's not a single team on bye in week 8. I just don't get it. I have not heard one solid explanation. I understand how week 13 you can't have buys because, again, you need to make up for Thanksgiving. Okay. But if anything, as we do get later into December and the NFL just grows more and more willing to play games on Saturday and things like that, we should be willing to finish these buys earlier, as early as possible, pretty much. So from the NFL standpoint, I'm just confused why they wouldn't try to move these things up. Instead, we get the rickety, you know, bullshit buy system that we have today. So anything else you want to say with that, Chris? It just annoys me because, again, I have not heard a good answer for why we have absolutely zero teams on buy in week 8. And I know it's going to, you know, I try not to say, oh, us poor content creators, we got to spend our whole life, you know, studying football and stuff. Very blessed. I love my job, like all that. Okay. But I know it's going to be annoying, Chris. And we have 4 straight weeks of buys to kind of alleviate a little bit of the concern. Then week 8 comes along and it's, oh yeah, here's 32 teams again. It's grinding my gears, Chris. That's all I'm going
to
say.
No, I understand it because it makes zero sense to me either. And the fact that there are going to be some teams with shorter weeks, some teams that will have to travel a lot. I mean, because I know there are some of the sites, I think it's like Sharp Football Analysis. I think they put out like how far like teams have to travel like in between some of these games in order to like figure out like who's going to have to travel the most or who's going to be coming off like the shortest number of days that they're able to rest. What like the teams that have to travel internationally? Because we got the Brazil game to start off, and we got the how many London games? We got one in Germany again, like this year or something like that. I mean, there's just like all of that stuff. I think all those variables have to go into, I would assume, some algorithm that they're using in order to come up with these. So, but I don't get it. But it just sucks that whenever, yeah, we do wind up like, oh, okay, we're getting used to these buys in the earlier parts of the week, and then it's like week 8. Oh, everybody's playing this week. Oh, okay. All right, fine. But I don't know, man. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me, but I'll just try and roll with it as best I can, because for the life of me, I do not get it one bit.
Yeah, I mentioned more quarterbacks being on bye in week 14. CJ Stroud and Jaden Daniels as well, Chris. Just what everyone wants to see as we're trying to push
right
for those fantasy playoffs.
Yeah.
Hey, hopefully you already got your first round bye secured. I know we're going to be trying to. Hey, this is the year we all go undefeated in every single fantasy league.
That's right.
And that is the goal. But sheesh, oh sheesh, that is annoying sometimes. So that's going to do it, Chris. I'm going to be gone the next 2 weeks hanging out in Thailand, baby. Cannot wait. First time I went to, I had a funny college experience. My buddy hit me up like my junior year and was like, what are you doing for spring break? I was like, nothing. Mm-hmm. He's like, well, there's this externship program where they were allowing people perspective, like, because I have a degree in finance, which is hilarious. I haven't used that thing freaking ever. But they were prospective students, finance students that wanted to like potentially work in Asia. So basically my buddy and I got a free school paid trip to go to South Korea for, you know, almost a week back in college. And we basically, you know, sitting through JP Morgan, you know, Goldman Sachs, all these great things, not paying a lick of attention because I knew I was never going to move out to Asia or anything like that. But yeah, I got to party and kick it, you know, in South Korea there for like a, you know, week. I have not been out of the country, you know, since then. So it's been a good, you know, 11 or so years since then. So I'm excited, Chris. Going to be sitting front row for some Thai fights. Going to be sitting by the beach, man. You know, I'm not sure what the weather is going to be like in Cincy, but I think I'm going to have you beat here over a little bit. I don't have a question, man. I'm just bragging at this point.
I know, but hey, man, it's your wedding. It's your week. It's your time. So, of course, you get to brag about that type of stuff, brother. So, I mean, like, go have some fun, man, for sure. And we'll just be kicking it here back in Ohio. And, I mean, of course, when Dwayne down in Texas, I mean, he's going to be like, At that point, it's got to be like super hot, like down in Texas for him. So yeah, so, I mean, you've got us beat for sure, but you got us beat anyway because it's gonna be your day. So hats off to you, and also Julia. Cannot wait to see. Well, I mean, you, the rest of your family, her family, and all the rest of the crew, like some of the other fantasy football colleagues that are going to be out there, man. Really looking forward to being able to take a part in your day. So for anybody that's out there right now, if you're watching this, drop a like, do the like and subscribe thing, of course, to fantasy, the fantasy life. But of course, wish Mr. and Mrs. Harditz, you know, like a beautiful wedding, beautiful life together and all that, because they deserve it, man. Wonderful people. So yeah, happy for you, man.
Do you have any idea how hard it was to find a woman to take the last name Harditz, Chris? Right, you know, not the easiest thing in the world, but I appreciate you, brother. Going to be a hell of a Sunday. And I appreciate all you guys listening out there. So again, thank you guys for tuning in to the Fantasy Live Podcast. For Chris, for producer James, I'm Ian. Until next time, take care, everybody.